Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hello to everybody tuning in. We're a Boston Celtics fan site that covers everything Celtics, from their latest trade rumor to that other trade rumor to the Nets pick and how exactly Danny Ainge got his free Chipotle for life card. No one knows, honestly. This week, we're actually doing something that we've never done before. We're doing a mailbag edition of the Celtics Life Pod. So we've rounded up some questions that you guys asked us via Twitter, comments on the site, et cetera, et cetera. And we picked a few that we're going to answer. And yeah, the traditional mailbag style. We have like four or five questions, pretty good questions here. So we're going to get into those after I shout out, because I have to do this, the Puerto Rican World Baseball Classic team. Puerto Rico is facing off against the United States tonight, and being Puerto Rican and also having blonde hair, I have to shout out the Puerto Rican squad. Hopefully they can beat the United States, but so far they're undefeated in the tournament this year, so I think they'll be able to take care of business tonight too, but we'll see. It should be a good game.
Who's on that Puerto Rican team?
I can pull up the roster real quick. They have a pretty damn good team. Give me one second. I want to give you the exact right now.
Because I haven't watched a lot of the WBC, but I am ready for baseball season, too.
All right, so I'll give you some... Oh, wait, that's not Puerto Rico. I'm going to give you some notable names real quick. Sorry, guys, we have to do this. This is super important. You know, what the next most important thing to the Celtics is, like, Team Puerto Rico, like 100%. Here we go. So some notable names on that team. Yadier Molina. Roberto Perez, Javier Baez, Francisco Lindor, Carlos Beltran. Angel Pagan he's not in the MLB, but he's...
former Met, he was.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Oh, even better. Yeah, he's been playing very well.
He used to be on my fantasy baseball team.
Oh, cool. But yeah, so... Right. Shouts out to them, and shouts out to Team USA too, I guess. Anyway, let's get into some of these questions. So I'll just read off these questions and who submitted them to us, and we'll just go from there. So first question is from Big Ticket. He asked, what can we get for Avery Bradley this summer? I would prefer a trade for a player rather than for picks. what are realistic trade targets? Am I wrong? Assuming he is likely gone after this season, with the high possibility of trading, of drafting a point guard, keeping room for a max free agent, or more simply, what will we do with Avery Bradley after this season? I'm just gonna butt in here real quick. I don't like the idea of trading Avery Bradley for anything less than a bona fide superstar. I think Avery Bradley, we've gotten past this point that of like questioning Avery Bradley's value to the team. There's no denying it that he's a star. You know, his All-Star selections may not reflect that, but over the past few years, he's like really, he's really been molded into this, again, 100% superstar, I think. He doesn't come up in every superstar conversation, but I mean, his defense alone is, he's one of the best defensive players in the NBA right now. So unless we're trading him straight up for a superstar, I don't want to see him even packaged in a deal, to be completely honest.
You know, it's funny, a couple weeks ago, you and I were talking about those end of the year awards, and we were talking about Avery Bradley and whether or not he'd be able to make first team all D like he did last year, because he, you know, he missed such a big chunk of the season. But, and we said it was going to depend on his play down the stretch, and look at how good he's played since like that, after that day. Like, he's been locked down. We had the big stop on Kyrie at the end of that Cavs game. He was huge against the Warriors a couple weeks ago. He's been phenomenal.
Yeah, I think we definitely made that happen, you and I.
Yeah,
he must have listened to the pod and he was like, I got to get it together, you know.
Obviously, but the and I agree with you 100% because obviously we have a lot of guys at the guard, you know, swing wing, you know, position there. And, you know, it, depending on where we go in the draft, you know, there's going to be a lot of people. But I can't see him being traded. Like, I mean, what are they? If he's in a deal, it's going to be in a deal for Paul George or a deal for Jimmy Butler. I can't see him, you know, going straight up for some other, you know, player at a lesser degree than that. You know what I mean? Because he is, like you said, he's on that level where I don't know if he'll get a max deal next year, but he's going to get a big, big payday. And obviously, if we brought in another max deal guy over the summer, let's say the Celtics signed a Gordon Hayward or something like that, you know, then signing Avery and IT is going to be an issue, you know, with Horford's contract already on the books. So, you know, Danny's going to have to do some finagling if that's what he wanted to do. But I think the only way that Bradley is moving this year, this summer, is if it's in a deal for one of those guys, a Butler or a Paul George.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough because to some people, we may be overvaluing Avery Bradley. Mm-hmm. But the problem is that obviously the Celtics aren't playing on national television every night. This year,
maybe a little bit more this year.
Yeah, a little bit more. Sure. Right. But it's a little bit difficult for
people. But he missed a lot of those games too.
No, exactly. But it's a little bit difficult for people who aren't Celtics fans that are watching what Avery Bradley does
right
every game.
Yeah.
The way that he contributes, or the way that he, you know, affects the game, even if he's not scoring 25 points a night and grabbing 10 rebounds or 7 assists, whatever metrics you want to put out there. I would say that behind Isaiah Thomas, Avery Bradley is probably the most important player on that team. More important, and I mean, disagree with me if I'm or whatever, but I think he's more important than Al Horford, and he's more important than Jay Crowder. And I say that because he's the most tenured player on the Celtics. So he's obviously, Al Horford is older than him, but I still think that Avery Bradley, if anybody, is sort of like the captain of that team because of his experience with the team. But yeah, like just to go back a little bit, I think it's hard for anybody who's not watching the Celtics on a nightly basis to understand exactly what Avery Bradley does for us. It's the same thing with Al Horford. Like, people see that, you know, he's not scoring 20 a game or grabbing 10 rebounds a game, and they're like, well, we were overpaying him. But they don't see the little ways that he affects the game, the passing lanes that he opens up, the easy looks that he creates for the rest of his teammates. And Avery Bradley does the same thing.
Yeah.
At this point, I'm thinking, and this is going to sound a little crazy to some people, but I would think, a fair trade at this point would be, Avery Bradley and, I don't know, Jay Crowder, I guess, for Paul George. That's it.
I don't know about. I mean, well, it gets a little tricky there too with you know.
We know what salary matching.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't know. I don't think that in Indy would go for that. But you know,
no, of course not. Because they want.
But you think right? Yeah. No. I hear what you're saying, man.
Yeah. I don't want people to misconstrue what I'm saying.
Right.
But yeah, basically, I think what we're saying is that unless it's a bona fide superstar, we don't want Avery Bradley going anywhere.
Yeah, and I don't think Andrews would move him in any deal that wasn't bringing a guy like that back. So,
100%. All right, let's go on to the next question. We have Andre Moreira. I just butchered that. I practiced this before.
That's why I made you do it. I knew that was going to happen.
Andre Moreira Lima, who says, I'd like to hear you guys talking about Brad Stevens' case for Coach of the Year. I really like this question because I think I was pretty outspoken on one of the pods. I forget which one, about Stevens' chances at winning Coach of the Year. This year, and I think that he has a shot. Mm-hmm. I really do. I think that obviously everybody's pulling for D'Antoni out in Houston. Obviously, they're having a really, really good year. Mm-hmm. It's yet to be seen whether that translates to postseason success. Obviously, Popovich is always
perennial.
He's always in the conversation. I don't know how you don't include them in these talks. Who else? Spoelstra, out in Miami.
Yeah, he's done a pretty tremendous job down there.
Yeah, that turnaround.
They started 11-30.
Yeah.
That's pretty wild.
And
they're the 8th seed right now in the Eastern Conference.
I mean,
as of this recording.
It's kind of off topic, but it would be interesting to see them match up against Cleveland in the first round, assuming that Cleveland stays in the one seed and mm-hmm. Miami sneaks in as the 8th seed. I think that's a good matchup.
Mm-hmm.
And they sort of match up well. I don't know. It's yet to be seen. But anyway, I like Brad Stevens' chances. The problem is that I don't know what the cutoff for the voting is. I don't know if do you know what the cutoff is?
Oh, I think they make the decision after the regular season. I think it's just the regular season, but they wait for the entire season to, you know, be closed.
Yeah.
So I think Stevens has to be, if not the front runner, 1A, 1B with maybe D'Antoni.
Yeah.
If the Celtics end up getting the one seed, he's going to win Coach of the Year.
You think so?
1,000%. Yes. Because here's my thing. Now, obviously, it's a huge step for the Celtics to go from last year. What were we, the fifth seed last year?
Yeah, fifth seed.
Second seed. You know, big jump. But we added Al Horford in the offseason. And, I mean, we were projected to be the 2 seed at the beginning of the year. I remember, you know, talking about this at the beginning of the year. I mean, that's – people had us – and not everybody, but I would say majority of the NBA media thought the Celtics would be the 2 seed on paper, you know? So the fact that we actually got it, it is a jump from last year, but because people expected us to be there, maybe it's a little more impressive that D'Antoni's doing that down in Houston, you know, and has them in the 3 spot down there.
Yeah.
Because they turned around they weren't good at all last year, you know. So
I would say that it definitely helps that that Brad Stevens coached the All-Star game.
Yeah, for the face recognition, you know, of it. Definitely.
Yeah. But, no, because, yeah, his name is already people are, I mean, obviously people knew who he was before,
right.
But now he's
definitely in like the national conversation.
Yep.
Sorry, guys, my dogs are barking.
Yeah, he really thinks that Steven is going to win.
Yeah, no, yeah, my dogs are total Brad Stevens fans. Yeah. I mean, I say Brad Stevens, and they're just like, where is he? You know?
So I would say he's a lock if he gets the one seed, because if we knock off Cleveland, no one saw that coming.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
But if he gets the second seed, yeah, it's a huge jump, but maybe D'Antoni's is a little more impressive because it's in the West, and they weren't really expected to be anywhere near there, and we were actually expected to be the two seed. I don't know. That's my thought.
Yeah, it's a tough one because I mean, this year Houston is a very talented team overall. Mm-hmm. The defense is good and has definitely picked up. James Harden has definitely picked up his defense over the past few years, and they can score with anybody, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the Celtics have gotten better on defense over the course of the year, and their offense has obviously been producing. But I don't know, it's tough because they're in the East, and everybody looks at the East like the Cavs and everybody else.
Yeah, I would say the top half of the East, though, is a lot better than it used to be this year.
The West is pretty weak this year outside of the
not the mighty West that we used to know.
No,
the top two teams, three teams, maybe even four with the Jazz too. Look,
yeah, no, yeah, but I was. It's a little surprising to see the sort of the shift in power, I guess, mm-hmm. if you want to call. Well, let's not call it that just yet. The East is having one good year, but
yeah.
but yeah, I like Brad for Coach of the Year. I think he's definitely proven his case. And if, like you said, if the C's get the number one seed, I don't see how you don't give it to him.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, on to the next one. Demetrius from the UK, which is pretty cool. Who do we prefer to play in the first round? And this is another question. Given that the top 2 to 3 picks in this year's draft are guards, shall we trade the draft pick? Trade existing guards, or perhaps trade down and select a power forward, taking a higher draft for next year.
Well, let's take the. Who would you rather us play in the first round? Who's your pick?
I want to say Indy,
because you would want to play Indy.
Yeah, I mean I saw this morning we're 3-0 against them this year.
Yeah, my only issue with playing Indy is though, Paul George is. The best player on the floor is not on our team, you know? I mean, if we play Indy, Paul George is the best player in the game, right?
Okay, but what?
So I'm just saying, like you kind of want to have the best player on the floor on your team, you know?
But put Avery Bradley on him, and how good is he?
No, well, that's what I mean. I mean, obviously, yeah, exactly. We match up well, obviously, with Crowder, Bradley, Smart, we, you know, but I'm just saying. And then Miles Turner's pretty good. He'd be,
he's having a good guard
too, you know? So I just, I don't know. I'd prefer to have the best player on our team on the floor. Not that, you know, that's no knock to Isaiah, but I mean, I think most of us would agree that Paul George, you know, is better overall. But
I would say that Isaiah is definitely having a better year than Paul.
Oh, he's having a better year.
But I guess the better player overall is Paul George.
I think Milwaukee is an interesting matchup to me because Antetokounmpo is he's a tough guard. I mean, that guy is a freak athlete. They've got Chris Middleton just came back. So we just got Avery Bradley back after the All-Star break. They got Chris Middleton back in February, and he's starting to look real good again. I mean, they missed Parker, but they've got a pretty interesting team, and they spread the ball around a little bit too. I that's a tough matchup, I think, but
I just don't see it, you know, I don't even want to say on paper they're a scary team. It's just
I wouldn't say they're scary, but they've got some interesting young guys and Antetokounmpo's that guy's a freak.
No, yeah, absolutely, I agree. But besides him, mm-hmm. what do they have?
Yeah, no, I hear you. I would like to get the I would like to get the one seed and then play Miami because
absolutely not.
Oh, I would. That's who I would want to play because, I mean. besides Dragic's the one that makes the engine go there, right? They, I mean, they spread it around a lot, but we have plenty of guys to match up with them. And with Winslow's out, obviously, and Whiteside's banged up. We don't know what he's going to look like. If you told me that he's going to be, you know, 100%, you know, maybe I'd rethink that. But
yeah,
I don't know.
What about Detroit? Detroit's another one that.
Well, they're on the nine right now, right?
Let's say they sneak in.
I think we would smoke them, and you would think that they would be a tough matchup because, you know, because of the size, but
no,
for whatever reason, they just, I don't think that, you know, they don't have a guy to go to at the end of the game. Reggie Jackson's, yeah, he's meh, you know?
Yeah. Detroit is a weird team. You would expect them to be a lot better than they are, but they're not.
Well, last year they seemed like they were up and coming team, and then this year they definitely regressed.
Yeah, like,
you know, totally. With a very similar roster. So
yeah, it's weird. I don't know what happened. Well, so I think that's pretty much everybody that's realistic. Chicago,
Chicago, they're a game or two out, right? They're not far. Charlotte's done. So I mean, Chicago, that'd be an interesting matchup, but I guess. Any of those bottom teams there.
So you're saying Miami, I'm picking...
I would take Miami, yes.
I'm picking Indy, because I think we would probably... That'd be a five-game series, I think.
Yeah.
It's so funny that, like, all of a sudden we're, like, so confident this year.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, Celtics in four, Celtics in five, and we've been swept in the last 2 years. Like, I hate to say it, but it's... But then again, we were playing pretty good teams.
Yeah.
And the roles were pretty reversed, you know.
Absolutely.
First time around, we played the Cavs, and then last year we played Atlanta. But this year we might have the luxury of being the number one seed and playing a barely decent team in like Indy or Detroit or Milwaukee or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that takes care of that. So we have two questions here. Also from Demetrius in the UK and from Vegan Sean. Their two questions were pretty similar, so I'm just going to read Demetrius's question. Given that the top 2-3 picks in this year's draft are guards, should we trade the draft? Oh, wait, no. We already said that, didn't I?
Yeah, but we didn't talk about it.
Oh, no. Yeah. That was the second half of the...
Yeah.
Yeah, that was... I'm sorry, guys. But I'll just read off Vegan Sean's question. What do you think of Boston's plans... what do you think Boston's plans are with the Brooklyn pick? Do we use the draft pick, or do we trade it in order to land a star? So that plus Demetrius's second half of the question. I think that the same thing that, well, what happened last year is going to happen this year too. Danny Ainge is just going to pick the best player. If the Celtics get the top lottery pick, we'll see if they pick Lonzo Ball or Markelle Fultz. If they land number two and Lonzo Ball is gone, they'll probably pick Fultz, but who knows? Either way, he's going to pick a player that he feels will most benefit the Celtics. And if something comes up later on or the night of the draft, he'll pull the trigger, but it has to be obviously for a perennial all-star, I would think. But I don't think it matters that, especially with somebody like Markelle Fultz. I like the idea of picking him better because of the Washington connection to Isaiah Thomas. I think that they would really gel pretty well. It's the same thing with like Avery Bradley. Avery Bradley went to school in Texas, but he's from Washington. I like the three Washington guys on the same team. I think that there would be a lot of pretty good chemistry there. Lonzo Ball, I'm not as high on him as everybody else is. I've seen him play a few games. I watched UCLA's last game of the tournament. I don't see it. It's going off topic a little bit, but I think that the fact that the two top picks, maybe in the top five, we have guards, I don't think it really makes a difference. I think the Seas will make the pick either way, and if something comes up, they'll do something with it.
Yeah, I mean, I think like if you look at last year with Jalen, like, you know, everyone wanted, you know, we were on the edge of our seats thinking that he was going to make a trade, you know, everybody wanted, you know, the Jimmy Butler deal was, you know, that was all they were talking about. And then when he went and drafted Jaylen Brown, people were like, oh, well, that's, you know, it doesn't seem like that's, he's going to make that deal because, you know, the Bulls were interested in Chris Dunn and people were mad we didn't take Chris Dunn so then we could still make the deal. Danny's going to take the guy that he wants. He's not going to take a guy without, you know, with thinking that, oh, well, geez, I can trade this guy. You know, I mean, obviously that's still an option, but he's still going to take the player that he wants more or thinks would fit better or is the better player. Unless he has something worked out ahead of time, or let's say the Celtics are the second pick and he's got to, you know, he talks to, you know, say Larry Bird, whatever. This is the player that we would like. We would like Paul George and work something out that way. The way we did back with Jeff Green and Ray Allen. My thinking is, here's the thing about these other teams. Teams have a tendency to fall in love with players, and you know how, like, from what we heard, Chicago and the Pacers were both asking for the moon in return for their two stars.
Yeah.
But what where we might luck out is, and this, you know, wherever it is that our pick ends up, it could be anywhere from what, 1 to 4, right? Sometimes teams will fall in love with players and really, like, you know, maybe this, say it's Lonzo Ball. That's one of them wants. Say the Celtics get the second pick and he's on the board. We might be able to get one of those guys for less than we had originally thought, because when teams can actually see the player and it's the player that they want, not, you know, a pick that could land anywhere in this spot. Like, we think our pick's going to be one of the top picks, but, you know, that if they have a guy that they fall in love with, I mean, we saw this happen with Danny Ainge a couple of years ago with Justice Winslow. He tried to trade like 5 first round picks for him, right?
Yeah.
And afterwards, he said he regretted that, you know, and he's glad that, you know, things worked out the way that they did. But if you know, that can happen to him, that happens to other GMs too, you know? They fall in love with player A, and then, you know, when, you know, they're willing to you know, give up whatever it is for them. So, I mean, maybe we'll get lucky and that'll happen with George or Butler if that's the route that Ainge wants to go.
Yeah, that's why I don't fault the Pacers or Chicago for not pulling the trigger on any draft pick related trades. Because the problem is, sort of like you're hinting at, you don't, I'm sure, of course, the Celtics are going to be in, well, the Nets are going to be in the lottery and that pick is going to Boston. But you don't know if that pick is going to be the number one pick or the number four pick. Let's say one of those two teams is in love with Lonzo Ball, but the pick ends up being number four. You know that he's going to be gone by the fourth pick.
Mm-hmm.
So then what?
Right. I mean, I think, yeah, you're right.
But then come draft night or the lottery selection night, rolls around and it turns out that the Celtics do have the number one pick, then now you have a pretty attractive package going there. You have the number one pick and you have this player, Paul George, who's, this is a hypothetical situation, obviously. Oh, you have a player in Paul George that, you know, you know is not going to re-sign with your team. Pull the trigger because you know what the pick is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not speculation anymore. But yeah, I don't know. It's a tough one, I guess, for teams to make these draft trades when they have no idea where these picks
right,
are
going. Where the pick is actually going to be, right?
Yeah, and
That's why I think our odds of making a deal go up when, you know, after the lottery and we can see where it falls. And not only that, draft night, when you actually see this team is on the clock and this player is available, you know?
Yeah, everything gets really serious on draft night.
Right.
When that clock is ticking down.
But unless Danny has something worked out ahead of time where so-and-so's team, and I, you know, sorry guys, we keep saying Butler and Paul George. Those are just the two, obviously, you know, tied names. But, you know, if a team is looking at that and he has, you know, he's spoken with so-and-so and they really want so-and-so and, you know, that happens. Otherwise, excuse me, Ainge is going to take the best player and he's not, you know, he's not going to take a guy and go into the next day and say, I took him because I think the most teams will want him. like other teams will covet him more. He's going to take the player that he thinks is the best.
Oh yeah, 100%. All right, so let's get to this last question from Atlantic City Celtic. He is asking about Paul Pierce. He said, I just want to know what the team will do when Pierce retires. Are they going to announce a date? If so, when? And will it be where they had KG's press conference? Is he going to release a statement and take questions, stand up and show his jersey, do the speech at the practice facility, et cetera, et cetera? I can imagine, given, you know, the tiny contributions that Paul Pierce has made to the Celtics, that they're going to let him have the whole treatment.
He's going to get the Bulls rights.
He's going to get basically everything. Jersey retirement.
The one-day contract.
So he retires as Celtic.
And they'll do it. And whenever it is that they do that, they'll probably do a big hoopla like they, you know, like we did with Bird. You know, it's going to be a big celebration.
Yeah, I think it'll pale in comparison to like the tribute videos that they've done of him this year.
Mm-hmm.
When he came to play at TD Garden as a Clipper. I think it'll be a big spectacle.
For sure.
Obviously things will fall on different dates.
I wouldn't be surprised if they retired his jersey next year. And then Garnett will get his own day, and it won't be this on the same magnitude, though. You know, it's funny we say that. We were talking about the other day how they're having their celebration and they're not inviting Ray to it. The 2008 Celtics, the championship celebration.
Yeah.
But, you know, and even someday the team is going to do that too. And, you know, whether it's, you know, another 10 years from now or whatever, when it's a 20-year anniversary, maybe all will be forgotten by then and Ray will get to go to that.
I mean, I hope so. You got to.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but.
You got to move on eventually.
At the same time, though, this was only like 5 years ago that this happened when he left for Miami. It's a little still fresh in the wound for those guys, you know?
So I
don't blame him. But.
Yeah, but like, I hate to bring this up again. I mean, this happened. I mean, five years ago isn't forever ago. It's not super recent either. But the fact that he went to Miami, of all places. I get it, but I mean, another 5 years from now, if you're still holding on to it, you gotta let go eventually. I think Paul will get the full treatment. I wouldn't be surprised if Brooklyn did the same. I'm not sure about Brooklyn.
No way. Not a chance. They're gonna erase that from memory.
Yeah, no, forget about Brooklyn. They got robbed in that trade.
Better shot of Washington doing it than them, and they're not going to, obviously.
No. The Clippers might do it just because of the hometown connection.
No, I don't think so. He's been awful. I mean, not awful, but he's been done since he got to L.A., you know?
I think the only reason that he's there is because of Doc.
If
it was any other coach, I don't know.
I think they thought he had a little more gas left in the tank, too, than he actually did, you know?
Yeah.
Not that he's making some kind of boatloads of money over there or anything, but...
No, I think he's making, like, $3 million.
Yeah, he's making, like, a... Yeah, right.
I mean, that's obviously a lot of money, but, you know...
For sure. They can pay me that. They can pay me a quarter of that.
Yeah, and I'll sit on the bench. Mm-hmm. But for sure Boston will do it. But yeah, we don't think Brooklyn is going to do anything or Washington. I think, but I guess you don't agree that the Clippers would do something.
I don't think so. But
I mean, I guess it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter anyways.
Yeah, he's been there for a few months, really. If you think about it,
they might put a Celtics jersey up in their rafters after that tribute video that they did for him.
Yeah,
it was all Celtics clips.
I think that's, unless you have anything else to add.
No, that's it, man.
All right. I think that was our first mailbag. I think that we got some pretty good questions. We'll obviously be doing this again, not every week, but we'll try to
do a
mailbag every so often, especially when as the playoffs roll around. I'm pretty sure everybody's going to have loads of questions. But anyway, guys, you can check out the links at the top of CelticsLife.com. We have a huge variety of shirts and hoodies that you can get in our store, and you can even get tickets to the Celtics' next game. The season is winding down, though, so you might want to get on those tickets now. You can find our pod on iTunes, Stitcher, Block Talk Radio, SoundCloud, and Mixcloud, so you have no excuses. There's plenty of platforms there. Make sure to subscribe to the pod so you never miss an episode, and if you like what you hear, rate us 5 stars. If you don't like something or have a suggestion, make sure to let us know. We're always trying to bring you guys what you want to hear, so again, any suggestions, what you like, what you don't like, you have an idea for an episode, let us know, and we'll do our best to accommodate it. So yeah, I'm Lewis, I have Mark with me, and we'll see you guys next week.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.